Blog Talk Radio.
Do you watch Fox News all day? Are you dizzy from conservative spin? Are you a birther or teabagger? You might be suffering from a condition called barachnophobia. If so, the only cure is Liberal Dan Radio. Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Warning, Liberal Dan Radio is not a substitute for doctor's advice. Severe cases of barachnophobia may require psychiatric help. This may prove expensive if Republicans repeal health care. Listening to Liberal Dan Radio may cause you to embrace things like facts, logic, and reason. If these symptoms last for more than 4 hours, you have been cured. For more information, go to LiberalDan.com. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. Or you can join us in the chat room and make your comments known there. Or you can, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio page currently, you can use the Skype button to call in directly as well. I may or may not have a specific show page for this show, but I may have other topics that you might want to discuss. So over on LiberalDan.com, so just keep an eye on LiberalDan.com for potential topics that I've spoken about on tonight's program, which is pretty much going to be an open door policy today. If you want to call in, you want to have something you want to talk about, you know, go ahead, call in. If I know something about it, we can definitely talk about it. Or if you just want to rant for a little bit, go right ahead, too. We'll be talking about several other issues like Robert Durst, Republicans loving Eric Holder, Benjamin Netanyahu in the Israeli elections. But anything else is fair game as well. But first, as always, I'd like to discuss this week's headlines. In sports news, the Saints have gone on a fire sale. We should have known it would have been a rough offseason since Saints owner Tom Benson cut his kids first. In health news, doctors have announced the first successful penis transplant. And so they can replace a penis, but they can't give Oscar Pistorius legs? I guess we know what the priorities in life are, at least in South Africa.
Oh, little tank tank.
This week was St. Patrick's Day. In an email advertisement I received, not only did Target offer me discounted clothing for the day, but I also got a deal on patio furniture. Well played, Target. Well played. In religious news, the preacher Creflo Dollar is advertising the need for donations so that he can get a brand new jet. And I, for one, cannot blame him for this. I mean, if someone is going to be speaking on my behalf to God, then I want them to get as close to God as possible. And they best not be flying first class. I mean, best not be flying coach. And finally, the next sequel of the popular Pirates of the Caribbean movie series is searching for naturally busty women of all ages to be extras on set. So avast, ye salty dogs, if you know of any wenches with ample bosoms, do not send them to Davy Jones' locker, but instead send them to Disney casting. Arrgh. And that is this week's headlines. Now, we've got several things to discuss. I also have my cough still from last week, so if you want to know how my week's been going, that's pretty much sums it up. Just coughing, coughing, coughing constantly. Because, you know, those things just never want to seem to go away. Kind of like Republicans. Anyway, so, speaking of the Republicans, they apparently, despite their protestations otherwise, Republicans, conservatives, they must really love Eric Holder. They must really love him. I mean, not only did they, you know, effectively cheer the fact that he didn't bring charges against Zimmerman and against Michael Brown's killer. Darren Wilson. So not only were they must be happy about that, but there must be something else. You know, I don't know if it's a Brokeback Mountain, I wish I knew how to quit you thing, or if it was, you know, if they just really like him all along, or maybe it's just a thing where they want him in there because they know what attacks they can make against him. I get, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's the method to their madness. But this has been, I think, the longest that an attorney general, Lynch, has waited to get a vote. They just won't do it. They won't vote on her. So that means that they must really, really want to keep Eric Holder in. They must really like him. Because I can't think of another reason why they would want to delay, you know, unless they're going to better the person you know than the person you don't. But it just seems to me that they just really want Eric Holder. They just really, really want Eric Holder to be Attorney General. Because, you know, they must really like him. They can prove me wrong. They're more than welcome to bring up a vote on Lynch and see if she can be the next AG or not. But, you know, until they do, I'm just going to have to keep assuming that they like him. And that's as simple as that. Meanwhile, speaking of racial issues and police shootings, etc., I'm sitting here watching this video of the mentally ill guy holding a screwdriver, and they told him to put the screwdriver down, and he didn't, so they shot his ass. They shot the guy for having a screwdriver. He looked really menacing with the screwdriver. So, the video apparently doesn't show a lunge or any sort of threatening move by the individual. They do show both cops holding their guns out to the person. What the body cams also show is stun guns, tasers, big yellow things on their hips that they could have used on this person if they wanted to bring him down in a reasonable way. Why did they go to the guns first? Now, I've been pretty much all day debating race and racial issues with some conservatives that I know on Facebook. And, you know, one thing they try to do is they try to bring up, there's this video where this little bully black girl attacks a girl and her kid brother in a park. And they video it, and she just beats the crap out of this little girl. And it's horrible. And the police, you know, are looking into it. And why isn't there outrage over this? And conservatives just don't seem to get it. It's not... the acts themselves are bad. The acts themselves are horrible. You know, any act, if it's a black person killing a white person, if it's a white person killing a black person, the acts are terrible. But what causes the outrage is when certain ones are looked at and certain ones are not. And in this case, the police officers saw the video, they're made aware of it, and they're investigating, and they found the girl, and they knew who she was, and they're going to go seek justice for this little girl who was, you know, beat and kicked in the head by this piece of trash bully. But... Now, according to these people, these conservatives, I'm supposed to, A, know about every single incident that takes place on the face of the planet. And I have to make sure that I'm equally, you know, addressing them and making sure that I can say, oh, well, here's an example of a black girl beating up a white girl, and that's wrong, and she should be punished. I need to be psychic and know about them and then make sure to give them equal time and equal weight. Even though the problem is, it's not that, you know, yes, it's bad that this girl was attacked, but, you know, what would be different is if it was like, if no investigation was done, and then, you know, there was a case, I think, I think it was Colorado, it was a black police officer and a white kid, and the black police officer shot the white kid. But guess what happened? They immediately started looking into that black police officer. They immediately started an investigation. They immediately, you know, they didn't form that little thin blue line and shield themselves and start defending this guy. They started looking into the wrong, into what was a possible example of wrongdoing. But this is what conservatives just don't get, is that it's not just the act. It's the actions afterward that take place that punish black people more disproportionately, that punish more black people in a disproportionate way than white people, that will look the other way almost as it came to Sanford police and with Zimmerman. They weren't even going to investigate it. They just wanted to believe him and said, that's it, that's what happened. He said this happened, it's what happened. So are we supposed to believe that Martin, if Martin, for example, had gotten the upper hand in the altercation and was able to shoot Zimmerman, are we to believe that Martin would have, they would have looked at Martin and been like, yeah, okay, you know, this guy was following you, he called 911, we told him not to follow you, we didn't need him to follow you, and he did anyway. We understand that you felt so like your life might be threatened, so we're not going to investigate this crime. Would they have done that? No. They most likely would have taken him in the back of a police car, arrested him for killing Zimmerman, and then he would have had to be put on trial immediately. Not immediately, but they would have started the investigation into the thing immediately. There wouldn't need to be a public outcry over this thing. As there was when it came out that they weren't investigating, they weren't, you know, charging Zimmerman with anything. They were just going to let him go. Until it became known on social media, and that is where the outrage came in. And that's what these people, these conservatives, don't understand. It's the lack of action after the fact that causes people to be outraged. And in a disproportionate way, it's lack of action when white people are criminals, and disproportionate action when black people are criminals, or alleged criminals, I guess I should say. So anyway, let's go ahead and take the first commercial break. If you want to join in the conversation, it's area code 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out Budgeteers.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kinds of tickets should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but Budgeteers is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out Budgeteers.com or go to YouTube.com/Budgeteers and help make your trip the best it can be. Budgeteers.com is not a travel agency and it is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings.
I am sick and tired of the propaganda in today's media. You know, we can't have a sane discussion about politics. Well, yes, you can, and it's on RLJS Radio Live with your girls, Monica RW, and Autumn S. I'm there every week when they discuss Michigan and national politics, job search, unemployment, and more from an independent left, sanity-based point of view. So, tune in. RLJS Radio Live, Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. sharp here on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. to call the show. It's 347-838-8368. That's 347-838-8368. And damn it, you know, I'm looking at my Facebook feed as I'm watching the show, and there's a video of four black people who were left the mall who were supposedly profiled, and I guess the sad thing is, the best thing I could say about that video that I was watching briefly was that, you know, it's sad to say that, you know, at least no one was shot. At least nobody was shot. That's all I'm saying. But again, another example. I'm unsure how many white people get stopped walking out of the mall. I'm posting a response on this thread where I said, you know, can't listen at the moment. I'm assuming they found nothing stolen, right? And then in another story, there was a hanging in Mississippi. I guess, put it this way, a black man was found hanging from a tree in Mississippi. So, and of course, you know, one of my friends on my wall is saying, what makes you think it's a lynching? I'm like, well, because it's more likely than he was trolling his neighborhood by hanging himself on a tree. So to me, there are many other ways to kill himself. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a suicide. I doubt it. So far there's no evidence that there is a lynching. And somebody responds back, being Mississippi, I have a feeling it's not suicide. We have the rep. And yes, they do. They have that reputation. I'm wondering if it's by my former, one of my former coworkers used to lived in Mississippi, and we were having a conversation, and it started off as a conversation about Under God and the Pledge, how Under God was originally not in the wording of the Pledge of Allegiance, and I pointed out to him that it was a Democrat, Lyndon Johnson, who was one of the people behind the pushing to put Under God in the Pledge. And this guy from Mississippi goes, well, that's the only good thing that Lyndon Johnson ever did. And when I said, well, what about when he sent the federal, you know, law enforcement down there to investigate the murders of the civil rights workers? He goes, as I said, and my eyes popped out of my head when he said this. And my other coworker. So I'm wondering if that's in his neighborhood. Probably not, but, you know, it still would be, you know, interesting to see. I've asked him. I'll see how he responds. What the hell is going on? My frickin' page is being dumb. Anyway, at least it's not something that's in disabling my ability to work in the studio. Anyway, but, you know, I'm talking about all this. I may have forgotten it. Usually, again, after each break, after the first commercial break, I like to go to, do my Words of Redneck Wisdom. And this time, it's not the guy that I usually read from. It's actually was listening to the radio and found another example of you know, well, I'll let you hear what the guy says. Here we go.
And now, this week's Words of Redneck Wisdom, brought to you by Liberal Dan Radio.
You know, I mean, when they holler that they're not getting nothing, they get more benefits. They get free community colleges, all black colleges, midnight basketball, Black History Month, and other holidays, more rights than whites, more discrimination laws, from mortgages to rent, loans, Section 8, employment. And between blacks and Hispanics, the white decline in employment and more poverty in whites and more unemployment.
You have just heard more words of redneck wisdom brought to you by Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.
More rats than us. Yeah, no, black people have more rights than white people. That's why, you know, they get shot by cops and stuff when they're holding screwdrivers. So, okay, I got confirmation that there was nothing stolen that was found on them. So they were just, you know, four black shoppers being searched just, I guess, because they had nothing better to do. They're bored. Or they just, you know, the odds of it being four white people searched, you know. Probable cause, people. Race is not probable cause to search people. Posting that to my wall, too. Ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that these people are acting like this. It drives me up a frickin' wall. They get so defensive. Again, it is more harmful. Considered worse in America to actually call somebody out on racism than to actually be a racist. It's ridiculous. Why should it be more? It should be always worse to be the racist than to call somebody out on race. Now, it's bad to call somebody racist when they're not being one. There's an example of that, too, from this week. I don't know if I'm going to play that audio or not. I have it. I have audio. Basically, what happened was a group of parents brought their kids to a playground. And this group of parents happened to be all white. And they were at the playground. And there happened to be another group of kids that were all black. And the people watching those kids were not really watching those other kids. Those kids started taking the toys from the first group of kids. They started, you know, acting just badly. And they weren't, and the people who were watching them, supposed to be watching them, weren't correcting them. And the first group of parents that I discussed got fed up, and they were going to bring their kids, make their kids leave, but they called, made a phone call to the people at the school where these kids are from, and they were just, the people who were watching them all of a sudden, oh, you're just doing this because you're racist, you're just doing this because you're a bunch of crackers, you know, whatever, cracker, go away, cracker, yada, yada, yada. And it's people like that, you know, real racists do harm to society, don't get me wrong. But wrongly accusing somebody of racism is also wrong, and it also causes harm. I'm not going to say that more people are wrongly accused of racism than are rightly accused of racism, but I am going to say it's ridiculous to just call somebody out for racism when they're clearly not being racist, period. So, it's just so frustrating to me, you know, because, you know, I wasn't raised like that. I wasn't raised in a way to view, you know, people, you know, maybe I guess I'm in a way thankful to my parents that when I was, you know, growing up, you know, before I became like 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever, I was the only white kid in my neighborhood, and I played with all the other kids in the neighborhood, and I didn't view them as being black kids or white kids. I just viewed them as being my neighbors. And we played. We had a good time. We had fun. And when one of the neighbor's dogs popped off the chain, then we all got scared together. And then when it snowed, we all got in snowball fights. And when they needed to shovel the street and you know, the people weren't coming to shovel the streets, the group of people, my dad and all the other men in the neighborhood, got together and all shoveled the street together. It wasn't a white thing, a black thing. It was a neighborly thing. And we treated each other like neighbors. We treated each other reasonably. The only thing I remember being aggravated of is late at night when the one guy who lived right next door was to just, you know, blare his reggae music, man, every night, and I'm assuming he also smoked the ganja. But, you know, that's the only thing you have to worry about in your neighborhood is some guy occasionally, you know, smoking a little weed and playing some reggae music. I think you're fine. I think you're fine. So, it was just, I just wasn't raised in a way to just treat people like as badly as these people are wanting to treat black people. And yeah, maybe it's, I'm not from the, you know, well, I guess technically I'm from the South because Maryland's below the Mason-Dixon line. But, you know, I wasn't raised in the Deep South. So I guess there's a lot of experiences that when I got down here and I had to witness them for myself, they're happening still today. It's like, it's aggravating. I don't get why it has to be that way. It's frustrating as all hell. And I wish things would get better, but when I have these conversations with various different conservatives from various different backgrounds, you know, I've had Stephen on my show, Stephen Vandergast, and he's a good guy, but there are some things that he just doesn't understand and just doesn't want to understand. He posted on his on a conversation we're having, there is none so blind who refuses to see. And he's probably talking to me and thinking that I'm refusing to see, but I see it back on him. It's just that he just doesn't want to see privilege. He doesn't want to see the disparities and what's going on and what people are actually talking about when they're outraged. And instead, they're trying to focus on, you know, a tit for tat. Well, here's a black person who assaulted a white person, so why isn't that bad? Well, of course it's bad. But why isn't there outrage? Because, and I explained that earlier, but they don't want to listen. They just don't want to listen. Let's go to the second, let's go into the news block again. I'll take your calls as well if you want to join in. It's 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. I guess I didn't start the audio first for a second. So since I kind of trail in the audio, I'll give it a second to ramp up so we don't have a lot of dead air. And then I'll say it's 347-838-8368 and that this is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman's claim that the U.S. has a trade surplus with free trade agreement trading partners simply isn't true. Hoffa says U.S. International Trade Commission data shows a large trade deficit. Hoffa says the South Korea trade deal alone has cost 84,000 good U.S. jobs. Hoffa says the vehicle trade deficit with Korea has grown 43% under that agreement, a $21.1 billion automotive trade deficit. Hoffa says the upcoming TPP free trade deal poses another serious threat to U.S. jobs. The GOP-controlled U.S. House voted Thursday to block a National Labor Relations Board rule speeding up union elections. Unions support the rule because they say it helps level the playing field by giving anti-union bosses less time to intimidate workers once a union election is announced. President Obama is likely to veto the measure. United Teachers of Los Angeles say they will go ahead with faculty meeting boycotts March 24th, April 7th, and April 14th. The teachers' union says threats by the L.A. school superintendent to retaliate against teachers won't stop the faculty boycotts. The teachers' union in Los Angeles is escalating actions to achieve the schools L.A. students deserve and to get the district to offer a fair contract for teachers. UTLA members want smaller class sizes, fully staffed schools, improved learning and working conditions, and fair compensation for teachers. U.S. military veterans of several wars are calling for an end to endless war and the demilitarization of U.S. foreign policy. They're marking the 12th anniversary of the war in Iraq with an all-day seminar at the University of the District of Columbia. Several veterans who are now in veteran anti-war groups will speak, along with other experts, about U.S. foreign policy and call for an end to what they say has become endless war. America's largest flight attendant union, the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, is joining the Partnership for Open and Fair Skies. The partnership consists of leaders of the three largest U.S. airlines and their unions. They're opposing national subsidies for airline industries in the Middle East and other nations that they say undercuts U.S. aviation, endangering American aviation jobs.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
Workers Independent News is brought to you with support from union-owned and represented Bank of Labor, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender. Doing whatever it takes to meet your business lending needs for new construction, remodeling, or building training facilities. Online at bankoflabor.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to Liberal from the Left. That's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, calling from New Orleans. It's, you want to join in on the conversation, it's 347-838-8368. It's area code 347-838-8368, talking about the various issues. And I have some interesting audio that I found just literally during that break, and I'm going to be trying to cut it up and upload it really quickly in order for you to be able to hear it. But it's definitely awesome. Let's put it that way. It's Rick Santorum speaking the truth. Now, Rick Santorum, you know, spoke the truth one time, and I actually defended Rick Santorum on this radio program simply because when he said that he basically said that if you wanted to run somebody for president and you're you know, trying to go against Obamacare, that Mitt Romney was the worst Republican you could pick to run for president in this election. And that's what he said, and that's taking him in the context in which his comments were given. Now, a newspaper reporter decided that he wanted to take his quote out of context and just say that Mitt Romney is the worst Republican candidate that you could have or that you could run. And obviously it was BS because it's not what Santorum said. And so I defended him on this program because even though I disagree with him on a vast majority of things, I don't believe in attacking people with lies or with misrepresentations of what they're saying. If the truth is on your side, then the truth shall set you free. If you don't believe that Santorum is correct about things, if you don't believe that he brings the right things to this country or as a politician, then by all means oppose him, but do so honestly and fairly. Anyway, so I'm not going to talk about Santorum this break because I don't think it'll be all fully uploaded by then. However, I will discuss it on the next break, after the next commercial break. So, Well, I'll talk about this break. Robert Durst. Robert Durst is an interesting fella. HBO showed Jinx, which is a story, and I don't really remember hearing that much about him, you know, I guess growing up or whatever. I mean, maybe I missed it, maybe just didn't. Excuse me. Maybe it didn't, you know, register in my head, or maybe it just wasn't, you know, so shocking that, you know, Rich White guy getting away with murder, supposedly, you know. Well, shocking thing that happens. So, I'm watching this show, and, you know, because I'm like, hey, there's this guy, it's interesting, you know, let's see. And it starts showing about his wife disappeared, and then starts showing how he, somebody in Galveston, Texas was found dismembered, and as police were investigating the situation, it turned out that this deaf woman this mute woman was actually an alter ego of Robert Durst, and he, you know, it was suggested that he killed one of his neighbors. And then eventually turned out that he admitted to killing the neighbor because the neighbor attacked him, and he claimed self-defense. So it doesn't necessarily explain why he had to chop the body up into lots of itty-bitty bits. And it didn't necessarily explain why, what happened to the head, because nobody knows what happened to the head of the neighbor. And then turned out that there was another person who, you know, was his friend, it was Robert's friend, who supposedly was about to go talk to the police. The police wanted to talk to her about something, and then she winds up assassinated. And she's like, you know, a daughter of a mob boss. So that, of course, adds possibilities of, well, she was about to come up with a show or this book or whatever on the mafia. So maybe it was the mob that did a mob hit. Because the way that each thing's happened were different. I mean, you have one person who disappears. There's no body. You can't find anything. There's another person, body's chopped up in itty-bitty bits. You can't find the head, but they're in garbage bags in the Gulf of Mexico. They have another person who just flat-out shot assassination style in her house. So three different MOs, which, you know, raises questions. And this guy is a pretty sarcastic-sounding guy. And at the very end, it turned out that there was a letter that was sent on his letterhead with block writing to her. There was also a letter that was sent to the police with no return address to the Beverly Hills police. And Beverly Hills was misspelled wrong. Beverly was misspelled wrong both times in the same way, the same block lettering. And the person who was making this show, making this documentary about Robert Durst, found, or at least one of the people that was he was interviewing, you know, one of the relatives of the person who lived in California who was killed assassination style, he found this letter and was like, you need to see this, and he compared it to, he had sent it to a handwriting analysis expert who then said that, you know, looking at different other types of documents that they're able to find with this same type of block letter, that this clearly is the same person writing the same letters. And I don't know if I buy that. There are people who can forge signatures. There are people that can forge handwriting. So, and I'm not necessarily buying that as the case. But I'm not saying that this guy didn't do it. I'm just questioning whether or not forgeries are possible. If this guy can legitimately say, look, this is not a forgery, and this is how I know it's not a forgery. But Durst did say when he said, you know, Durst pointed at the first envelope, said, I wrote that one. I didn't write this one. But then when he showed the two pieces of handwriting on a piece of paper just next to each other on the same piece of paper, he couldn't point out which one was his and which one wasn't, which is definitely interesting. And then, of course, Durst goes into the bathroom. He's mic'd. The mic is hot. He's grunting or something in the bathroom. It's like, well, there you go. You're caught. And he goes, what did I do? Obviously, I killed them all. So he says these things, and he goes, well, you know, and everyone's thinking to himself, well, this is obviously he's admitting to doing it, and I'm not saying he wasn't, but I'm also saying it's possible. I'm not saying how probable it is, but it's possible that he was just being sarcastic. And if such of a statement is admissible in court, which there's questions as to whether or not such statements are admissible in court, depending on how quickly or not quickly this person was involved and involved themselves with law enforcement, depending on how what the rules are on particular things. He met this evidence in the audio may or may not be admissible in court. The jurors may or may not get to see this. Of course, now that it's made the entirety of the news, I don't know who's not going to know that this that these things were said on a live mic, because it's all over the place. What's interesting is that Durst, speculation that Durst was trying to, was going to fly on a plane and fly to Cuba, because like I think the first flight from New Orleans to Cuba is supposed to take place this weekend. And he had like $42,000 on him and a latex mask that would cover his face and his neck, and it looked like he was going to be running, supposedly. They found marijuana on him as well. So he was arrested on drug charges. And the state of Louisiana is like, well, you know, I think Durst waived extradition. But Louisiana's like, well, we want to charge you too. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why? You have a murder trial that could take place in California where this person might go to jail for the rest of his life if they find him guilty, if they find enough evidence to prove that he did it. Yet you're going to sit here on a petty gun and marijuana charge? It's a waste of money. Louisiana's wasting money. Let him go to California. If for some reason he gets off with the... Let him go to California and make the agreement with California that says, we're going to let you go, but you're coming back, regardless of the output of your trial. California can have you on loan. We'll bring you back for our trial. But let them do the trial first. Then at the end, if he's convicted, if he's found guilty of murder, then maybe you could just say, you know what, we're just not going to charge him at this time. Because there's no reason to, because he's in jail. But no, Louisiana's probably going to waste money trying to convict a guy on 5 ounces of pot and a gun charge. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so it's definitely interesting. I don't know. I mean, he's gotten away with everything that he supposedly has done so far. So if you're a betting person, do you bet that his luck's ran out and he's finally been caught? He was caught before, and he got away with it. Or do you bet that, hey, this is a rich white dude who has access to the best lawyers on the planet and has gotten away with it before? There's no reason to believe that he wouldn't get away with it now. He may bring up that such comments that were made on a hot mic were sarcastic and they weren't actually being truthful, that he's a sarcastic person in general. They may bring up that this person was the victim of the murder, was a mob, had mob ties, and the killing was done in an assassination style. They may bring up all those things, and they may be able to be successful in doing it because they were successful in making the jury believe that he was not guilty of murder because he committed an act of self-defense. So, anyway, let's, again, if you want to talk, I'm going to go to the final commercial break. If you want to talk about those issues, the racial issues I was discussing earlier or more, you can call in. It's 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right. If you need legal representation or advice on issues such as family law, bankruptcy law, DWI, or other civil or criminal matters, you need hands-on legal advice from someone who will treat you as a priority and not just another number. So call the law office of Sherry I. Sandler at 504-528-9500. That's 504-528-9500. Or email sandlerlaw@cox.net. I trust Sherry with my legal needs, so should you. The preceding ad was an unpaid client endorsement. Do you like fun jewelry? Do you wish you could design jewelry that is designed just for you and that tells your story? Well, with Origami Owl, you can do just that. An Origami Animal Jewelry Bar is a fun way to get together with your friends, hang out, and design jewelry. There is no pressure to buy, but when you host a party, either in person or online, you have the opportunity to get deeply discounted jewelry based on what the friends you invite to the party purchase. If you would be interested in holding a party, either online or in person, go to cassiezcharms.origamiowl.com. That is cassiezcharms.origamiowl.com, and contact Cassie today. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman from New Orleans, Louisiana. Again, to join the conversation, you can ask a question in the chat room, or you can go to the Skype button on the show page and connect that way, or you can call 347-838-8368. Now, Rick Santorum, again, said something very interesting. Today, or was it today? It might have been today. Oh, it was actually all the way back from 2012. So I don't know why it's being shared now. But anyway, it's an interesting piece of audio that he was speaking in front of the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. And what did good old Rick have to say? Well, here's, it's not the entirety of what he said, but here is some of what he said.
We will never have the media on our side, ever, in this country. We will never have the elite, smart people on our side.
Let's hear that last bit again.
We will never have the elite, smart people on our side.
That is damn right. You will never have the smart, the elite smart people on your side. Because if you're smart, you're not going to be on Rick Santorum's side. So thank you, Rick, for making that point. I'm sure he is trying to make a comment about, you know, the elite. You know, and probably, you know, using quotes in the air or whatever, and probably, you know, trying to say that that's the self-described smart people or what have you, and I know that. So, but in his own words, you will never have the smart people on your side. So, I agree with you, Rick. I agree with you 100%. Smart people will never be on your side, will never be on the side of the people who go to the Faith and Values Summit. Not to say that there are smart people that don't, not there are no smart people with faith and values. Not to say that there are no smart people who are religious. There are plenty of people who are smart and religious. But they're probably not voting with Rick Santorum. They probably realize that the people, you know, on your that side are not the intellectual elitists. They're not the people who are going to actually, you know, come up with the ideas that'll help fix this country and fix our future and help, you know, make this country a better place. They'll probably look at the people who are, you know, conservatives, want to conserve the way things were and be like, you know, the way things were not always so good. And we don't want to keep those things. So, screw you. Pretty much. And that was actually another conversation that was going on at the radio show. I think it was today that the radio show I was listening to had somebody calling in about this. No, it was yesterday. Actually, yesterday evening, because the guy was talking about how he likes liberals and doesn't like conservatives. And he says there are liberal Republicans and he likes liberal Republicans and there are conservative Democrats. He doesn't like conservative Democrats. It's liberals and conservatives. And it's almost like the guy was psychic because the host was like, well, Lincoln freed the slaves. And he's like, well, Lincoln was a liberal Republican. And as I said, I like liberals. I don't like conservatives. Lincoln wasn't a conservative. So I was, and, you know, again, the people you know, the conservatives were always the people who... Conservatives were always the people who wanted to keep things with it. It's the conservatives that wanted to protect. You know, Anthony, this guy Anthony, who calls into radio shows and he's on my friends list and everything, he will bring up how the Democrats were supportive of the Klan. Well, the party isn't really anything to do with it. It's the fact that the Democrats were the conservatives of the time. They're the ones who want to conserve the way things were. They didn't want to move forward. And when the liberals took over the Democratic Party, they then said, well, you know, let's move this forward. Let's not conserve and keep the racist past that we have. And that's when all those conservative Democrats ran away from the party and formed their own, the Dixiecrats, and then went ahead and joined up with the Republican parties, where the conservatives found a home. And they're still trying to conserve the way things were and not move forward to the way things should be. So, you know, and one day the parties could switch again. The party names will have no necessarily important label to them. But it's being conservative, being liberal is really what the issue is. Are you going to be the person that holds on to the way things were to keep us like an anchor dragging us down, or are you going to be the one who helps cut the anchor and helps us move forward into the future? So that's kind of my idea in the whole thing. And I love that people like Rick Santorum are out there. They can run for office. They can, you know, share their beliefs. And I hope that those are the type of people that become very popular in the party, because that will mean that their party is going the way of the dodo. The more Rick Santorum's race to power in the Republican Party, the less the Republican Party is going to be able to influence things. And maybe another party will rise out of the ashes, that is the remnants of the Republican Party, at some point down the line, that where we can have ideological differences on certain things that don't keep the status quo on racial inequality, on gender inequality, on inequality when it comes to whether or not your cis or transgender. That's going to be something else that's going to be discussed next week. I'm going to have a very special guest, a friend of mine who lives in Orlando, we're going to discuss it with him then. But there's a very important issue dealing with trans folk in Florida, because Florida is trying to write a law, and it's a very weird, unenforceable type of law that I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know who's going to be the enforcement of it, but it's trying to protect people, like children, protect the children, kind of protect the babies from the evil perverts of the world, supposedly, because, you know, there are no cisgendered heterosexual perverts out there that are a threat to children, according to these freaks. Freaks beating the Republicans and conservatives who want to push such legislation. And we'll go over the law. We'll go over the law that says that that they don't want to, you know, that they're going to force people to not be able to go to the bathroom of a gender that is opposite than what you were born with. That was the original tenet of the law. Now, laws change, and it actually includes also that you can get, as long as you match the gender on your driver's license. Well, if they reissue a driver's license because your state enables you to have your birth certificate switched to give the correct gender, then your driver's license is actually going to have a gender that's different than your birth gender. Oh. So what do you do then? So again, the law is inadequately does what it wants to do, and what it wants to do is ridiculous. But I will be talking more about that next week with my friend Caden, and he brings a lot of issues he'll bring a lot of issues and personal experiences to the table. And you know, if we have time, I'll maybe discuss other issues too that are important to us, like Disney, because we're both Disney freaks. as well. But, you know, I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to discuss. I'm sure we won't run out of time trying to discuss that important issue, because it is a very important issue. You know, trying to, you know, it basically comes down to treating people with dignity and respect. And unfortunately, when it comes to people that are, quote, different, often there is one political ideology, i.e. conservatism, that doesn't like to treat people with dignity and respect. Now, that's not to say that there are no conservatives who do. I'm sure there are conservatives that do. And maybe the fiscal type of conservatives are the ones that, you know, if they're just fiscal conservatives and when they support social liberal issues, then that might be where, you know, maybe that's where the new party will come from, that, you know, rises from the ashes of the old. Perhaps you'll have a party that where the social issues of the day are not the important thing, but the fiscal issues are. And maybe we disagree on fiscal issues, and we can have those debates all day long. And we can discuss how things are better or worse based off whether or not you take a Milton Friedman approach or a Keynesian approach to your economic policies. Or, you know, and I'd love to have that be what we talk about. I'd love to have, you know, the issues of, you know, differences in economic policies and what could be beneficial and, you know, what theoretically could work as opposed to real-world example. One example of that was I was talking on an afternoon talk show that I called into. He doesn't like to use my nickname. It's annoying. But he's like, you know, he's saying that he likes the idea of, you know, being able to invest your own money in the stock market from your Social Security account. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, that might be, let's say that it would work under your situation that you're proposing, where individuals may be able to, you know, choose certain broad equities to buy from. In reality, what would probably happen is that the broad equities that are available to be purchased are those equities that are approved by the government, and those ones that are approved by the government to put your money in aren't necessarily going to be ones that are the best for the American citizens, but instead they'll probably be the ones that are related to the most campaign contributors. And that way that those people in those investment firms can hoard the Social Security fund and get even more money to invest. And then when they lose it, well, there's no accountability because they're corporations and you can't hold the directors of the corporations, you know, for certain things. Some things they made it can be, but, you know, they probably make it so that they're not accountable because, oh, it's a risk to move these funds to somewhere else. And they'll say that, and you're putting the risk in your hand. And then you'll have a lot of people who risk a lot of money, and they'll lose their money. And guess what? Well, then they won't have any money for retirement anymore, and then they're going to be falling back on who? Government. This is why these people are so bad and so dumb. Anyway, that's the end of this week's show. Ending a little minute early. Who cares? Next week we'll be back, same time, 8 p.m. Central, Thursdays, blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan. You can also follow me at @liberaldanradio on Twitter, liberaldan, facebook.com/liberaldan, and liberaldan.com. Thank you to Untested Methods again for the music coming in and out of breaks and for the opening and closing songs. Until next week, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.